Psalm 119, verse 7. So I will praise and give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn by sanctified experiences your righteous judgments. He says, I will praise and give thanks to you when he learns through sanctified experiences. God will put him through sanctified experiences in order for him to learn to praise him. Amen? Now, what's a sanctified experience? That's such an interesting term to me. It's an experience that's been sanctified. Do you know what the word sanctified? It's still a little loud. Do you know what the word sanctified means? It means that you make it holy. You make something holy. You set it apart for a holy use. God allows circumstances and trials and afflictions and those kinds of things to come into your life, and he sets them apart as holy. God, somebody say amen. I mean, any of you been trudging through this week looking at yourself every day in the mirror and all these things are rolling up in your face because of these circumstances that come into your life? Well, God said, I'll set them apart as holy and I'll use them so you can learn to praise me. Amen? Amen? Do you know what an experience is? When I looked it up in the dictionary, I just was looking it up just to clarify my own self as to what I felt an experience was, and I was in for a real shock when I looked it up, because the first thing the dictionary said an experience was a personal trial. An experience is a personal trial, and let me tell you, God will sanctify your personal trials in order for you to give praise to him. Amen? It's going to be a long day. An experience is a personal trial, or it is the knowledge gained from trial. The knowledge that you gain from going through a trial. Or it can be the practical wisdom taught by the changes or the trials in your life. So you get a picture of what an experience is. So God says that you're going to learn to give praise to him through sanctified experience. There are things that are allowed to come into your life and they're set apart as being from God. You know, and a lot of times I hear people rebuking the enemy and rebuking the devil and get thee behind me and it's the devil this and the devil that. You know, sometimes it's kind of hard to rebuke God, isn't it? You know, he's not really put off by our rebuking and our casting and our slinging and our stopping. The devil this and the devil that. It's not the devil sometimes, it's God. God allows sanctified, holy trials to come into your life that have come from his hand to come into your life to teach you to praise him. Amen? So I tell you, a lot of times we want this growth in God, and we want this hunger for God, and we want to be this big vessel for God, and we want to be a golden vessel meet for the master's use, you know, a vessel of honor. And there's nothing wrong with that, but God's saying to us it comes more not just through studying the Word and not just through prayer. God says in order for us to be a holy vessel set apart for him, sometimes we have to learn his purposes and his plans to the things we experience. We have to learn him by our everyday experiences. And it's not just the mully grubs. It's not just a run-of-the-mill Monday. It is set apart. It is made holy by God, a sanctified trial, a sanctified circumstance that rolls into your life to do a work in you to press you into Jesus. You see, it's not your husband's ugly face, and it's not your wife's murmuring and complaining. It's a holy thing that's set apart by God to do a work in your heart. Amen? It's not the boss on the job every time. It's not the child that's rebellious every time. It's a sanctified experience that God's allowed to come into your heart to check what is in your heart, not only just to check it, but God, when you get into a tight place, that's when you cry out. God is interested in you crying out and coming into his presence. Let me tell you, I know you from the front row all the way to the back row. When things are going along pretty smooth, we kind of can take it as it comes. Amen? And we can, you know, we read our word and we do our little daily devotion and we pray that God will stir us for more of a hunger of his word. And if he does, it's fine. And if he don't, it's fine. But let me tell you, let him put you in a tight spot and let me see what you'll do. If he puts you in a tight place, when everything is coming in at you and everything that was upside down was right side up is now upside down, you'll cry out. that way. We want to pray. And when I say pray, you know what I'm talking about, pray. Pray. But we don't want to pray. Get down below the surface and get a hold of God. We want to pray and do our devotions and get by. We want to get a hold of God. We want to have the touch of the Master in our life just through prayer and study of the Word. I'm sorry, it's not going to come that way. Am I advocating not studying the Bible or praying? No, I'm saying that if you think that you're going to get a touch of God where the fire of God burns in your soul just by praying and just by, doing your devotions with God, it's not going to come like that. Every man of God, if you go back and read behind, old men of God, old women of God, I tell you, every one of them has been through things in their lives when they wondered where God was. When they wondered, what is this in my life? What is going on? God said it's a sanctified experience to get you to my feet so He can touch you. Amen. So He can bake what with you. Do you know that that's a big deal for somebody to come in the Eastern, in Middle Eastern places? If somebody invited you to their banqueting table and asked you to sit down, that meant that they were very intimate with you, that just not anybody was invited to eat at your house. Let me tell you, God said, I got a banqueting table spread for my children, and He wants you to come because He wants to be intimate with you. And as long as we're on the surface, God can't draw us into Himself. God wants to be in us, and He wants us in Him. He wants us in Him, communing with Him and fellowshipping with Him. Where He is our all in all. Where He is our sufficiency. Where He is our every breath and our walk and our talk. Where it's not just some church service. Where it's not just, well, I've been called to do this or I've been called to do that. It's Jesus on the inside. It's Jesus on the inside doing a work. Amen. It's communion with the Father sitting at His feet. And letting Him melt your heart. And loving Him. Being wed to the Master. Glory. Glory. Don't let it fall over the top of your head. Don't let it skim the surface. Let God get down deep this morning. In your spirit, man. Let Him get down deep in your soul. Amen. God's going to allow these sanctified experiences to come in your heart. A lot of you walk around with a lot of head knowledge. You can tell me what book it came out of, what tape you listened to. Am I against that? No, I'm not against that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But let me tell you, to get the fire in your heart, to get the communion with God, you're going to go through a tight spot. Amen. God's going to put you through sanctified experiences. He wants the head knowledge to be real in your heart. That when you speak it, it's spirit and it's life and it touches the souls of men. And they say, that man and that woman, they've been with God. That's a tried man. That's a tried woman. They've been in the presence of Jesus. When you say His name, it's real. It carries life. You don't get that by reading a book. You get that on your face in a tight spot. A sanctified experience that's been set apart as holy unto God. You get that because there's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else to go except to Him, to His feet, to press in. Somebody of you are going to wake up one day in hell. You're going to slip off to sleep and wake up in hell. So rouse yourself. I'm telling it. Amen. God sets apart a sanctified experience in your heart to push you to Him. Amen. He wants you to press in and touch Him. And not just so much you touch Him, but He wants to touch you. Amen. And these experiences reveal Jesus to us. You see, a lot of times we see Him like this, and He wants to take it away so you can see Him. Amen. We see Him through shadows a lot of times because these things in our hearts, these ambitions in our hearts, these desires in our hearts, God wants to touch those. He puts you in a tight spot so you can see them, and it causes you to cry out to Him, and it causes you to put both arms around Him and not let Him go. That's what He wants. God is interested not so much in your sin this morning. He's interested in your arms being around Him so He can commune with you. Amen. So He can come to know you, so He can wed you, so He can love you, so He can take you to the bridal chamber and be intimate with you. Amen. Let me show you a divine or sanctified experience. It's in John 11. Are you all with me? Any of you felt you've been in any of those sanctified experiences when you thought all you could do is scream and holler? Amen? Well, God's pushing you. He's after you. He's dead on your trail. Amen. You say, why is he on my trail? Because he's alluring you out into that wilderness, remember? He's going to pull you out into the hot spot. Amen. He's going to pull you out into the desert where there's no water. And you got to get on your face and cry out to him because he wants to apprehend you. He wants to catch you. He wants to grab a hold of you and sanctify you. Put his spirit in you. Put the fire of God in your soul. Put the life of Jesus in your heart. And he'll draw you out into a wilderness. You say, hey, who, me? You know, I'm out here, I'm cutting the fool, I'm doing this, that, and the other. I say, God's got a purpose for your life. God's got a call of God on your life. Don't take it small, don't take it little. God's got a call on your life. He's got a purpose and a plan for your life. Amen. The enemy says, no, you'll never be nothing. The enemy's a lie. Yes, right. Amen? Amen? The enemy's a lie. The promises of God are yea and amen. Yes, to that one that'll rise up and reach out and receive the promise and stand on it through the sanctified experience, you might not come up with nothing but your soul, but you got to Jesus and you got your soul. When the fire flows through you and the fire of God hits you, you might not come out with anything but your soul. But I tell you what, you'll have a revelation of Jesus like you never had before, of his keeping power, of how he can maintain and keep you through the trials of life. Amen. Amen? You know, we can have our house and our 2.2 children, but if we're going to call ourselves as Christian, you're going to go through sanctified experiences. Amen? You can't hide behind your husband. You can't hide under the pew. You're going to go through it if you're one of his. If you are a vessel that's been bought and paid for, you're going to go through a sanctified experience because he didn't save you to sit. He saved you to serve. Amen? And we can't serve him full of ourselves. Amen? Well, I got you now. Let's get it. John 11. You're there. Okay. If you've ever heard this ministered before, this is about Martha, Mary, and Lazarus dying. Probably, if you've ever heard it ministered before, then you always will hear the minister talk about how much Jesus loved these people. Because this is the place where he would always go in fellowship. This is kind of where he would go and just sit. And he was nothing expected of him. He was their friend and he would sit and he would fellowship with them in their house. And it was just kind of like a hanging out spot where he could just kind of get away from the crowd and go relax and fellowship about the master and about God with them. And he would just go and sit down and they were friends. Amen. He loved them. It says, now a certain man named Lazarus was ill, and he was of Bethany, the village where Mary and her sister Martha lived. And this Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair, and it was her brother Lazarus who was now sick. So the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love so well is sick. When Jesus received the message, he said, the sickness is not to end in death, but on the contrary, it is to honor God and to promote his glory, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Did you catch that? That the Son of God may be glorified by it or through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and they were his dear friends, and he held them in loving esteem. Therefore, even when he heard of that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 days longer in the same place where he was. Now, this is where he would go in fellowship. This is where he was a friend to them. They were a friend to him, and he was a friend to them, and he loved them. And this is where he would go in fellowship. So you would think that if Jesus, because some of you get this idea, when you go into these sanctified experiences, that God does not love you anymore, or that God doesn't care about you, or you've done something so bad that God's punishing you. Amen? That's not so. The punishment was took on the cross. He's not punishing you. He's sanctifying you. He's perfecting you. He's preparing you. Amen? And so you would think that this man that Jesus loved, when he said, when they sent to him saying that he was sick, what would you have done? If it was your best friend, what would you have done? You'd have run off. Amen? But he didn't run off, did he? Okay, look at this. It says, so the sisters, in verse 3, it says, so the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love so well is sick. Do you know what that love is? And I'm not even going to try to pronounce the Greek. But it is an emotional affection. An emotional affection. And they're saying to Jesus, the two women are saying to Jesus, you love Lazarus with an emotional affection. That's what they thought of God's love for them. That it was an emotional affection. Are you with me? And that's okay, because I love my husband with an emotional affection. And I love my children that way too, but that's not all. Amen? If we loved our children with just an emotional affection, we would never discipline them, would we? But we're looking to the future, aren't we? And so we discipline them when they're wrong or when they've done something we've asked them not to do. I'm trying to paint a picture here. They in their minds are saying Jesus loves Lazarus with an emotional affection. You got it, okay? Now look at this one in verse 5. Now Jesus, this is Jesus talking now, so to speak. John is saying what Jesus would have said. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Do you know what that love is? Do you think it's the same emotional affection? It's not. They have it in their mind that he loves them with an emotional affection, but Jesus is saying, no, I love you with a love that is intelligent, that has judgment, and it has consideration. That's big, I know, but I'm going to break it down for you. He says, they think that he loves them with an emotional affection, but he doesn't. He says, I don't love you just because that's more surface. I don't love you just with an emotional affection. I love you with a love that is intelligent, it has judgment, and it has consideration. Okay? This is the way the Lord showed me. He said, I love them with an intelligence. I have a knowledge of their heart. He's not dumb. He has a knowledge of their heart. He loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. He loved them. He knew their heart. And the judgment said, the Lord said, and I'll pass judgment on it. I'll make a decision on the knowledge of what I see in their heart. You're with me? I'll make a decision on it. I'll judge it. Do you know what it means to the consideration? And the Lord, this is from where the Lord showed me this. I had been studying about Job, and it said that the Lord says to Job, says to the enemy, have you considered my servant Job? Do you remember that? Have you considered him? I mean, you've been going to and fro seeking who you can devour and trying to tear up people's lives. Have you considered my servant Job? Do you know what that means, the word consider? It means, have you set your heart on him? Have you set your heart on him? Jesus, when I was studying last night and this week, the Lord said to me, he said, that's just the consideration I have for you. He said, I know what's in your heart and I'll judge you, but let me tell you, I'll set my heart on you too. Somehow I just don't think you got that. Let me tell you something. You all are getting hung up on the fact that God knows your heart. Well, amen. He knew your heart before you got saved. Amen. He knows your heart now, and he knows what your heart's going to be like. And if you got a heart that hungers after him, it's going to be pure and holy before him. And you get hung up on the fact, oh, God knows my heart. Well, thank God he does. Amen. I tell you what, when I get into turmoil sometimes, and the sanctified experiences are pressing me, there's times when I come and I just kneel on my knees and all I can say is, God, you know my heart. I thank God he does. I thank God that he knows that there's a heart down there. There's a flame down there that loves him. It may not be burning bright at that particular moment, but the hunger for God is there. And I thank God that he knows my heart. Thank God he has a knowledge of our hearts. And thank God if there's something there that's keeping me from him, he'll judge it. He'll come to a decision on how he's going to deal with you until the thing is gone. Amen. Thank God he'll come to a decision on what, well, how are we going to do this? Well, I think I'll do this and I'll send that and I'll send this and we'll get rid of that thing in their heart so that I can be pure before me. Thank God that He's a God of judgment. But let me tell you, in the midst of the sanctified experience, in the midst of the judgment, in the midst of all the knowledge of it, what He knows is in your heart, you're not hid a thing from Him. In the midst of all that, God said, don't be discouraged. I've got my heart set on you. My God, I got my heart set on you. I've set my heart. You know what it's like? It's like setting a dog on a rabbit. I'm watching you. I got my eyes on you. I'm not going to let you loose. I've set myself on you. God, I know what's in your heart. I'm going to pass judgment on it. You're going to go through a sanctified experience, but don't be concerned and don't get all in an uproar because I've set myself on you and I'm watching you.
Hallelujah.
I've set my heart on you.
Hallelujah.
I've set my affections on you.
Hallelujah.
I've set my love on you.
Hallelujah.
The word set means I have fastened myself to you as with a lock.
Hallelujah.
My word. I tell you what, you can't go over under for going over. Not with God. God's got His hand on your life. You're going in the valley, but you're coming up. Amen. You're coming up. God said, I've fastened myself to you as if I've locked myself to you. Some of you need to be locked. Because you go running. But God said, that's okay. I got you in this place for a reason, and I've set my heart on you. And you're going to sit tight until you get through this sanctified experience for once in your life. You're going to prove God. You're going to see Him as real. You're going to see God as who He is. He's going to be real in your soul. He set Himself on you. He's fastened Himself to you. He's fixed. Thank God. He's the only thing in this world that's fixed is Jesus. And He's fixed. It means to attach Himself firmly to you. Some of you are trying hard to run from God. You're hiding in your children. You're hiding in your job. You're hiding in your shopping. You're hiding in this or that or the other. God said, that's fine, but I'm attached to you. I'm attached to you. I'm going everywhere you go because I've set my heart on you. And let me tell you, you cannot run from God's sanctified experiences. They will come. They will come. If you're one of His, it will come. And I tell you what, ladies, you will lose your dignity. For once, you will lose your dignity. And men, you'll lose your pride because you'll come to God and you'll empty your heart out and you'll let Him break you in a million pieces. You'll lose it. If you want to be a vessel in this last hour, in the last hour of time, you will be broken before God. Praise His name. He will bless you so He can use you in this last hour. Or you'll split hell wide open. Take your choice. You say that's stern. It's true. You'll take your pride and go straight to hell with it. And God will make His bed with you, but that's where you'll be. In hell. Because God has got a people in this last hour. It is no time to play church and be religious in the hour that we're living in. It's time to wake up, shake yourself, and get a hold of God. God is moving forward. And He's searching a people out that will move with Him. Amen. And I tell you, I've seen the Lord. I've seen Him when I was in my mess. And I've seen Him attach Himself to me. And it was like I would try to shake Him. I would try to run from the conviction. I would try to run from the love of God. And I would try to shake Him. And He held me firm. He held me firm. God was intended that I would be a vessel meant for the Master's use in this last hour. I praise Him. I praise Him. I'm not intimidated by your love this morning. I'm not intimidated. I know my Jesus. I know Jesus. He will when nobody else will. He'll dry those tears on that pillow at night. Jesus will. He'll store every tear you draw, every tear you cry. He'll store it because it's precious. He fills every time I hurt, every sorrow I feel, Jesus fills it. I try to shake Him. I want to get out from under that pressure in my life. God, leave me alone. Just let it be. No, God wouldn't leave it be. He said, you will go through that sanctified experience. Because you've been purchased not with some gold or silver or some man's philosophy or some man's religion or some man's doctrine. He said, I bought you with the precious blood of my Son. I gave all that you might be a vessel. Hallelujah. Are you going to let your flesh tie you to that seat? You want to let your pride get the best of you this morning? Your spirituality is going to reign this morning in the presence of God? I doubt it. I doubt it. If you think so, then yours is on the way. Your sanctified experience is on the way. He'll take you, He'll turn you every way but the right way. But let me tell you, He'll never let you go. I thought that I was going to lose it. I said, God, I'll never make it. I can't get through it. I can't make it. He turned me every way but loose. This way, that way, that way, that way, that way. But He never let me go. No way was set on me. He had His heart set on me. Glory! Glory! I know, oh, you're emotional. I tell you, go through hell and back and let Jesus be with you, and you'll get emotional! You'll get emotional for Jesus! You'll get stirred in your soul for Him! You'll turn a deaf ear to the murmuring and the complaining, and you'll turn a blind eye to the snickering and to the long looks, and you'll say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Glory to God. Take me to the shelter. Take me to the rock. It's hard in me. It's hard in my thoughts. It's hard in my way. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm loud. I know it. I'm excited about Jesus. Why am I loud? Because I know what He did for me. He wants to do for you. He wants to do it for you. You say, well, you don't really get upset when we go through all these trials. I sure don't get upset because I see the hand of God working in your life. God's able. Yes, He loved them with more than just an emotional affection. He knew their heart. He said, I know where they're at, and I got to get them from point A to point B. I see those things that hinder them. I see the desires and those kinds of things in their hearts that are not right. I see them. I see those things that hinder them from the presence. He saw them. He had knowledge of it, and He passed judgment on it. But just as sure as He's passed the judgment on it, He set His heart on them and He wouldn't let go of them. Amen? Okay, so let's go to verse 6. It says, let's go up a little more then. Let's do verse 4. When Jesus received the message, He said, this sickness is not to end in death, but on the contrary, it is to honor God and to promote His glory, that the Son of God may be glorified through and by it. Now Jesus loved with a knowledge, with a judgment, and with a consideration. He set His heart on them. He loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, and they were His dear friends, and He held them in loving esteem. Therefore, even when He heard that Lazarus was sick, He still stayed 2 days longer in the same place where He was. Does anybody know, just in just plain old English, the word therefore means for that reason? For what reason? Because He loved them with a love that knew them and would pass judgment on them and set His heart on them. For that reason, He tarried and wouldn't move. Boy, that's some type of love, isn't it? Boy, that's tough love. That's a love that sees not just right now, but the future. Amen. See, God knows the plan that He's got for your life. And He's got it in motion today. You didn't get it? Okay. Okay, I'll back up. The word therefore means for this reason. For this reason, what was the reason that He tarried? Because He loved them with a love that knew their heart. And He loved them with a love that would judge what was in their heart. And He considered them and set His heart on them so they wouldn't lose themselves and just lose it and backslide or whatever. He set His heart on them and wouldn't let them go. And for that reason, because he loved them, he knew that there was things there that he wanted to work out of their hearts, so he tarried. He wouldn't move. Because he loved them. Now, if we love each other with an emotional affection, we'd have went running off and we would have missed it. Amen? But the Lord loved them with a love that knew where they were at and knew and judged it. And he grabbed a hold of them and wouldn't let them go because he knew they were fixing to go through a lot of sorrow. And he said, let me set myself to them so that they'll make it through this sorrow, through this sanctified experience. Amen? And it was for that reason that he knew their heart that he tarried. Now let's go ahead and get real. We do not like tarrying. We kind of like to be in control. We like to be able to call the shots. We don't mind about all this praying stuff and all this Bible study stuff as long as it happens when we think it's supposed to happen. Amen? Well, the Lord said, well, you know, it's not so much that Mary and Martha and Lazarus were in sin. He was just trying to bring them deeper into himself. So I'm not telling you that you got to be in sin for these things to come. I tell you, I don't think that you always have to be. I think you could be minding your business, praising God with all your heart, and boom, it hits you. Out of nowhere. Here it is. The big one. It's a big sanctified experience that God is going to reveal himself to you. Because you've come to a point in your life and your walk with God that you've got to see him in a different area that you've never seen him before. You've got to see Jesus. You've got to see him in a way you've never seen him. And so he brings this thing in your life that causes you to dig in. It causes you to dig into it and press into it until you're in him. And he's in you. Until you're communing with him and you're crying out to him. Amen? Yes. So he allows these things to come into your life to push you into the presence of God. Amen? Most of us take the first exit out, and we never learn to prove God, and we never see him as who he is. He never becomes real in our souls. Oh, he's Jesus of the Word, and we believe it. If the Word says it, bless God, we believe it. But is it real in your soul? Is it alive? Is it breathing? Woo! Is Jesus breathing in your soul? Is he alive? Is he real? Is he moving? Is he talking to you? Yes. You say, I don't know about that. I'm telling you, it's real. I'm telling you, Jesus is just as real as I am standing here on 2 feet this morning. Amen. He's a man. And he's a real. You can touch him. You can put your arms around him. You can love him. You can embrace him. Amen. Brother, Pastor David's son said the Lord kissed him. You want to debate it? I believe he'll kiss you too. I believe he will. I believe he'll wipe your sweaty brow. I believe he'll cool your fevered brow. I believe he'll give you cool water to drink. I believe he'll feed you when you're hungry. I believe he'll heal you when you're sick. I believe he'll touch you when you're down. I believe he'll lift you up when you're way down. I believe he'll bring a mountain when you're in the valley. I believe he'll bring faith when you're in fear. I believe it. That's Jesus. That's who he is. That's who I am. He is anything you need. He is what you need. I didn't say Cadillacs. I said what you need. He is what you need. He's what your heart cries for, what it yearns for, what it hungers for. And he wants to bring you to that place where you'll hunger for him, where you'll thirst for him. We do it on the surface, but let something not go right, buddy, and we're out of here. God'll put you in a tight spot, honey. You can't get out. It's totally out of your control. You cannot control it. It's totally out of your control. It's God or it ain't. It happens, it's God, or if it don't happen, it just don't happen. Amen? I tell you, God can. That's my husband. He come up to a new wife. He didn't know what happened. He said, I believe you've been touched by God. I said, I believe you're right. I believe you're right. Hallelujah. Changed by the Master's hand. Not by philosophy, not by religion, but by the Master. He tarried. because he loved them. He knew all the comfort zones and all the securities and all the character flaws, all the abilities, the inabilities. He knew all of that. And he came to a decision about it. He came to a decision about it, and he passed judgment on it. But don't never forget, he locked himself to you. What did they tell you when you get in the plane? Put your seatbelt on. Amen. We're going for a ride. Put your seatbelt on. You can take the thing off when things are going smooth. But when you get in turbulence, what's the thing say? Seatbelts. Put your seatbelt on. Why? It's going to be bumpy. Well, Jesus is your seatbelt. It's going to get bumpy. I'm going to go ahead and tell you now. It's going to get bumpy. It ain't going to be because you didn't get a raise on the job. It's not going to be bumpy because, you didn't get your way. It's not going to be bumpy because so-and-so looked at you wrong. It's going to be bumpy because God brings a sanctified experience in your life that puts you in a tight spot that you can't get out of unless God moves.
Amen.
Amen. And it's going to, when he tarried in their lives, and this man's lying sick, and he tarried, it brought a lot of suffering. Amen. But do you know what suffering's for? It detaches you from this world, from yourself. Look, when you're going through a trial and things ain't going good at all and you're in a tight spot, does it matter what so-and-so's driving? Does it matter what he's wearing? If you've been afflicted in your body and it's like if God don't heal you, you don't move, does it matter whether or not you have gold, earrings, or silver? Does it matter whether or not the house is decorated as if it looked like it come out of a magazine or not? Does all that stuff matter? Uh-uh. See, the suffering detaches you from the world. Those things don't matter. When the baby's sick and his fever is blazing, does it matter about those things anymore? Does it matter whether or not you have some high-paying position in some job and some title? Does all that matter anymore when somebody's sick and it's cancer and the doctor says there's no hope? Does all that stuff matter anymore? It don't matter, does it? The suffering detaches you from this world. It detaches you from selfishness and from self and from the world and from your ambitions. Does it matter that you're going to be some great man of power 10 years from now if right now the doctor's looking you in the face saying you're sick and I don't know if we can help you? Is it going to matter? No, you're detached from it. The only thing that matters is grabbing a hold of God and being pure in your soul and grabbing on and digging into Him. That's what matters. It don't matter about your ability to speak anymore, your ability to pray, or your ability to study, and your ability to do this or that. The suffering detaches you from all of that. You don't care about it. It is so small. Amen. And it brings you out of yourself. And always looking within. You don't look within anymore because you know it ain't within. You're not going to find a thing going to help you in there. You got to look to Him. You got to look to Jesus. Amen. I know some of you are sitting there mulling over that one. I tell you, maybe it's time to come up to reality. You know, those little everyday things that are common problems to the lost as well as the saved. You see, God wants to detach you from that stuff. You can have the nicest house, but John Doe down the street's got a nicer one. You can drive a brand new car, but so-and-so is driving one $20,000 more than yours. You can have a good paying job, but somebody else has got a better one. Amen? God wants to bring you out of the common problems and into Himself. Amen? That's common problems. The law deals with a flat tire and sometimes deals with it better than we do. Amen? God wants to bring you out of the common problems into Himself, into the spiritual realm, into the things of the Spirit, out of the things of the flesh and the carnal and the sensual, out of that and into the Spirit. Amen? He wants to bring you out of yourself into Him. There is a scripture in Psalm 49 that says a man of honor will perish. You know what the word honor means? It's going to throw you. A man of honor will perish. It's in Psalm 49. You know what the word honor means? A man that's into himself. Hello? You see, that's why God brings sanctified experience. You know what? If you had told me that I did not love God and that I was not pressing into Him with all I had, I would have said, you're the biggest liar that ever sent my way. Because I had a heart for the Lord. I believe that. But let me tell you, when God put me in my experience, I found out I was wrapped up, tied, and tangled up in me. I mean, I could have preached to you, I could counsel you, I could show you in the Word all the right things to do, but when God put me in that thing, I saw that I was full of and controlled by me. And let me tell you, when God finished with me, I was looking at me like you are a rattlesnake. You flesh will kill me dead if I give you half a chance.
Amen. Amen.
And let me tell you, that's what God wants to do in your life. You say, oh, you're saying you got it together. I'm saying that God showed me, and I saw God, and I don't like fooling around in the things of carnality and sensuality and that kind of foolishness. I tell you, you better walk away from it. You better turn away from it. You say, I can't do it. I know you can't. God's going to put you in a sanctified experience.
Amen.
And it'll detach you.
Amen.
It'll detach you, honey. You'll be looking for the scissors. Cut this thing away from me.
Amen.
Loose me and let me go.
Amen.
Loose me from this grave, this bondage, these grave clothes. Loose me.
Amen.
And let me go free. You'll be looking a way out where God puts you in of yourself. You'll be looking a way out from you. I tell you, if you're into yourself, you're going to perish. And some of you are slowly but surely perishing as the days go by. You're beginning to stink.
Yes.
Because you're decaying from the inside out.
Yeah.
You're dead. You got no life. I tell you, the life of God will bubble out of you. It'll ooze out of you.
Amen.
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 You can't hold Him down.
Hallelujah.
You can't hold Him in. The life of God, it's alive, it's real, it breathes, it moves, it lives, it walks, it talks.
Amen.
And God's going to put you in a sanctified experience to bring you out of yourself. Somebody say, well, thank God. Thank God He'll bring me out of myself. He loves you. He's attached to you. And He'll bring you out of yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord's got a therefore in your life. He loved them, but even though He loved them, He was willing to tarry because He loved them. He was willing to wait and bring the suffering into their lives to bring them out of that house to Him. Amen. Because they were into themselves. They wouldn't leave the house. They were sitting there bawling, squalling. They couldn't believe God. Amen? And God was going to bring them out of themselves. And therefore, for that reason, He waited. And He allowed the suffering. And it's not because He didn't love them. And sometimes I think that's what you think. Well, He just don't care about me anymore. Where's God? Why did God do this? Why did He allow this? Why this and why that and why the other and the whole nine yards? And God puts you in a sanctified experience because He loves you. And He wants to bring you out of yourself into Him. Amen? Your help's in the Lord this morning. Amen? You can't look within yourself anymore. It's in your help's in the Lord. Amen. Amen. My help is in the Lord. I want it. Let's do it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You don't have to be afraid of the Lord this morning. He loves you, and because He loves you and has a purpose for your life, He's going to tarry. He's going to allow you to go through a sanctified experience until you see Jesus. And you come into Him, and He comes into you.